and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I've started to do Christmas stuff with work.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I've spent the day listening to carols today.
And do you feel ready for it, or do you feel like you haven't really finished putting the pumpkins away yet?
Yeah, well, the good thing about it is I'm working ahead. And it feels like I'm breaking the back of the Christmas stuff early this year. I don't want to tempt fate, but I'm feeling quite organised for Christmas work stuff this year. And I just got a feeling something's going to go horribly wrong when Christmas Eve I'm going to be having to put loads of Christmas carols together. But it reminds me how much I do enjoy the Christmas carol.
Surely your work should be sort of in the hands of other people by Christmas Eve and sort of no longer your problem.
Well, you'd hope so.
Well, I've got an interesting question for you.
Go on.
If you provide somebody a piece of work which has to go out, it's a Trev edited Christmas Eve extravaganza.
yeah.
And it's for a big client.
Yeah.
Let's just say big client. Let's not use any proper names.
Yeah.
And they say, Trev, we need it a week before.
Yes.
And then you give it to them a week before. All boxes are ticked because they say to you, we need to, you know, proof, listen, X, Y, Z. And then on Christmas Eve, they get back to you at the last minute and say, Trev, you've cocked up this edit. It's a mess from start to finish. Who's right and who's wrong there?
Well, first of all, I'm not going to cock it up. I mean, I don't like the insinuation that I've created something that's such a mess that on Christmas Eve it's caused an emergency phone call. But it would ultimately be their... Well, it will be a joint responsibility. If I have cocked it up, obviously that's my fault for cocking it up. But if they leave it that late, then that's on them.
I'm confident that you will manage to get there without any sort of disaster. So speaking of disaster, by the way,
yeah,
you ended last week's podcast on a slightly sort of throwaway note. But I think it's kind of become the elephant in the room that this year is sort of becoming the year of the boycott. And I wonder if we need to talk about this.
The boycott.
Last week, as you were signing off the podcast, you mentioned find us on Twitter at Trev and Ben.
Oh, yes.
And you sort of did a, that's if we even want to be on Twitter anymore.
I did say that, I think, yes.
And, that was the end of the podcast. So I couldn't really, you know, extend it and have a big old conversation with you. But I thought it needs mentioning because there are many boycotts we can be doing at the moment. So let's first of all start with Twitter.
Well, I mean, I don't really, because I don't follow this particularly closely. I mean, I go on Twitter maybe once or twice a day and have a bit of a look, but I don't really pay much attention to it. So it's more to do with the fact that I just don't really like Elon Musk. I used to sort of, I don't know why I've suddenly taken a dislike to him, because I've always been fairly ambivalent about the guy. I mean, the space thing has kind of got on my tits a bit.
But you love space.
I do love space, but I think, you know, he's just ruining it.
Wow, Elon Musk ruins space.
He's ruining it.
There's a lot of it.
He's putting up ridiculous numbers of satellites, which I know it's all for sort of the good in the end. It's giving internet access to people who haven't got it. But the number that are going up is ridiculous.
Well, the thing is, I realised Elon Musk wasn't quite the genius I thought he was quite quickly, because he basically pimped out the blue tick on Twitter, which basically means, for anyone who isn't Twitter savvy, and I can't imagine there's many listening to this that don't know about the blue tick on Twitter.
Yeah, we all know about the blue tick. That's a verified account.
Yeah, it basically means this person is who they say they are, yeah. They're verified, they're the real deal.
Yeah.
And he was willing to sell that blue tick for anyone with $8 a month.
Yeah. Why has he done that? I don't really understand why he's done that.
I saw a huge problem with this, but I thought, well, there's a reason that I earn what I earn and Elon Musk is worth what Elon Musk is worth. He must have seen the bigger picture here.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he hadn't. So no sooner had he flogged the blue verified ticks for $8 a month, pop-up accounts were going everywhere. So we had an apparently verified George W. Bush saying, I miss killing Iraqis, sad face. which was swiftly replied to by a apparently verified Tony Blair, who said same, to be honest.
So really what he's done is he's sort of, there's now a massive loophole.
Yes.
That he's missed, presumably while he was selling his grandmother. So now anyone can just set up an account, claim to be someone, and pay for a blue tick.
Absolutely. Which is which was the big problem I saw with it. I thought, hang on a minute, this is going to make a mockery of the whole thing the blue tick stands for. If anyone with just $8 a month can just buy one. And, of course, people who have genuine, and I hate to use the word, but genuine celebrities who have this completely devalues, because if we now can no longer trust the blue tick, then anyone could be anybody.
Well, the big question is, who do we set up an account
well, not. I tell you who we don't do it for is Elon Musk.
No,
because a lot of celebrities, a lot of comedians in particular, decided to change their name, keep their blue tick, but change their name to Elon Musk,
right?
And then tweet horrendous things.
Which, can I just say, has always been. I mean, it's a great name, Elon Musk. It does sound like something like an antelope would give off in mating season, doesn't it?
Yes, the male. It really is.
The male releases. It's Elon Musk to attract a mate.
And so every policy Twitter sort of announced, within about 48 hours, they're having to cancel it, which I'm loving. I want to call their sort of policy system From Dawn Till Musk.
But, nice.
Thank you. But it's just been a disaster. And I saw this coming a mile off. So I thought, Elon Musk really isn't a genius at all. He's just one of those people who employs geniuses, and he's the sort of rich arsehole who buys up the copyright.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how he's doing it, I reckon, anyway. But then again, I'm not worth what he's... He could silence me quite quickly, I'm fairly sure of that.
He'd probably have you killed if he so wished. He must have enough to hire an assassin. I'd be careful if I were you.
So, well, listen, I'm willing to go halves if you want to do... I mean, what's the US dollar worth to the pound now? About equal, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I'll go £4 a month with you, split, you know, for a blue tick.
Who should we masquerade as?
Well, I was thinking we'd just do it to verify our podcast.
Oh, that's,
make
that's
us
not
look
fun.
A bit more professional.
That's not fun at all. We should go on as, I don't know, Donald Trump. Although, is Donald Trump back on now?
I think it won't be long before he's back. Jesus Christ has managed to get himself verified.
You'd have thought he'd be the first one to be verified. I'm sure in Genesis, very early on, it says, thou shalt receive the blue tick of verification. It's all there.
So for all the Jesus Christs that have been verified, for all this sort of silliness that's been going on, by the way, Elon Musk swiftly suspended anybody's account who dared to mock the great Musk himself.
Of course, yeah. Well, now it's his plaything. He can do what he likes. It's his toy.
There has been quite some damage done by this blue tick. So that's sort of the sillier end of the spectrum. But there has been real damage done. Somebody basically bought themselves a blue tick and pretended to be a company called Eli Lilly. Did you hear about this?
No.
Right. Eli Lilly are a humongous pharmaceutical company.
And it sounds like we're treading dangerous ground in.
No. This is all true. I'm not going to... I know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to libel anybody or anything. Don't worry about it.
These are the thoughts of Ben Hummer.
So basically, there's this pharmaceutical company called Eli Lilly. And somebody bought themselves a blue tick, masqueraded on Twitter as the official, because they had the blue tick, Eli Lilly Pharmaceutical Company. And they basically announced that all insulin from now on was free.
Okay.
And it managed to wipe, in one tweet, $16 billion off of Eli Lilly's stocks.
Wow.
It's incredible.
I mean, this is the sort of thing, though. It'd be great, because if you could... I mean, I'm not saying you should, but if you could ruin somebody, I mean, wouldn't it be great to totally ruin Donald Trump?
Yes.
I've always thought I need to, I'm hoping at some point Trump will see anything left of his empire just crumble around him. I mean, hopefully he'll end up in prison at some point. But it'd be great to be responsible for that. If you could find a clever way of completely devaluing anything and everything that he owns.
I don't think it's possible. I mean, even when the genuine news were sort of finding dirt on Donald Trump and reporting them in real news stories, he would just declare it fake news.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he just goes.
So I'm not sure what damage we can do with a fake blue tick or a real blue tick, but you know what I mean.
Still got enough people who support him, I suppose. Although he didn't do very well, or he didn't do as well as he hoped in the midterms in the States, did he? So no. I'm really hoping is that that's going to be the end of him politically now, that we can finally get rid of that fucker. I'm just going to the people I really dislike who have a lot of money. Wouldn't it be good to sort of ruin Rishi Sunak and his missus? I mean, that'd be, you know, learn to live like the rest of us.
Well, that brings us neatly from the as we travel down the boycott list. By the way,
haven't decided. Are we boycotting Twitter?
Well, I'll leave that one to you.
To be honest, I can't be bothered. I can't be bothered to boycott it. It's just too much hassle setting something else up.
Fine.
I know
that's
incredibly lazy.
It is.
But I'm not boycott. I shall just sit back and rage silently about the
fine
situation.
So Twitter has survived the Trevor and Ben boycott simply out of the dash idleness.
Yeah.
So celebrities living at like the rest of us. I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. Matt Hancock in there living like the rest of the plebs in there with him, I suppose.
Well, I mean, I boycott that show anyway. I've never seen it. Apart from, I've seen bits of it, obviously, but I've never, of my own decision, decided to turn that show on. So I've always boycotted it, and particularly this year, seeing as he is there.
Well, I thought I'd be interested to watch it, just to see the horrible things they put him through, but I can hand on my heart, I haven't watched a single second of it, because I just don't want to look at him. I don't want to hear his phony apologies, his excuses, his schmarm. I don't want to listen to a word of it.
I did read that he did say something about it. He did it partly to find some, was it forgiveness? Was that the word he used?
Yes.
It's like, fuck off, mate. Just, no. You're a slimy, slippery, nasty piece of work. And there's no forgiveness. I mean, I think it's wonderful that someone flew a plane over the jungle today. Did you see this?
I'm looking at it now. Yes, they flew it right over there. And this was only reported about an hour ago. So you've got your finger on the pulse.
Oh, you know me, mate. I follow everything. I've got screens going everywhere. I don't know what it said. It said something about just get out.
Oh, no. It was a little bit more stinging than that. It says COVID bereaved. Say get out of here.
Do you think that people like him, he would look at himself and think, God, I'm shit. I've really fucked up. I mean, if I fuck something up, we talked about work earlier. Like, if I fuck something up, I mean, I feel shit for days because I feel really, it's more angry at myself that I've fucked up. But I've not fucked up to the tune of however many thousands of lives.
No.
And when you've done that, and when it's quite clear that you are hated, really fucking hated, do you think at any point he would look at himself and think, I mean, the thing is, what can he do? Is there anything he could do to turn people around? He's gone into the jungle thinking that's going to turn things around. But what he's done is he's gone into the jungle when he should be serving his constituents. Parliament is still sitting. So, I mean, it's outrageous that he's even gone to do it. But even if he did it in his own time, like, does he really think that's the way to turn things around?
Well, I think that's dreadful. I mean, apparently he is trying to make some sort of time for his constituents, like you say. But no, I think it's. I think he's realised his political career is dead in the water. So he's now trying to. It's either a shameless cash grab or it's some sort of reinvention of himself. Speaking of cash grab, do you know how much money he's being paid to be in there?
It's a lot, isn't it?
He's the second highest paid in there.
Now, I'm assuming he's donating all that money to, I don't know, NHS charities or something.
Well, I'll come on to that in a second.
Okay, how much is he being paid?
He's the second highest.
Yeah.
Boy George was the highest. He's the second. How much do you think?
Oh, well, I know it's in the hundreds of thousands. I just can't remember. I'm sure I've read it. It's something like 350,000, isn't it?
Something
it's like
400,000.
400,000. 400,000 pounds. I mean, I think ITV should be ashamed as well. ITV, shouldn't even think of having him on. And they certainly shouldn't be paying him that much unless which you said you'll go on to, unless he's doing some good, or that not him doing good, is that money going to do some good?
Well, he's said he's in there trying to raise some awareness for dyslexia. I haven't watched it, like I said, I genuinely haven't, but I've heard someone on the radio saying he hasn't made a peep about dyslexia so far.
I read that he was going in to try and boost awareness. But as you said, I mean, I don't watch it, so maybe he has been talking about it. But if he's trying to raise awareness, I'm quite across like newspapers and web news, and I've seen nothing, like no stories linked to dyslexia. Like, you know when the governess was in the jungle?
Anne Hegarty, yes.
And she talked about her autism.
Yeah.
And around that time, so many stories came out. You know, so many stories were in the papers and online about how inspiring it was that she was talking about it. People were coming forward to tell their story and say they'd been encouraged to talk about it because of her. I've seen none of that. None of that. So I'm assuming that he's not really raising awareness of dyslexia.
No, I don't think... Well, as I say, I'm not going to definitively say because I don't want to spread fake news. but there was someone who tried to defend him. So this is Isabel Oakeshott, who popped up talking about his charitable donations in relation to I'm a Celebrity and would he be paying it, etc., etc. This was so egregious, this even made Piers Morgan balk.
Oh, dear.
So I'll have a listen to this, Trev.
We don't know how much he's earning from this.
£400,000.
I'm sure it is... I'm sure it's a substantial amount. We also know that he's going to be giving a great deal of that to charity. We also know that thanks to this government's
own
policies, he's going to be having to give... I don't know the answer to that.
So
but what I can tell you is he's going to have to give... I'll tell you this, Piers. One thing I know for sure is that the top tax rate is still 45p. So we know perfectly well that he's going to be giving at least 45% of that to the state. So
brilliant.
That's a form of charity in itself.
Do me a favour.
You know, one thing I will...
Oakeshott, you cannot say that with a straight face. Matt Hancock, because he's actually paying some tax.
Oh, do you know what? That's incredible. So when I do my tax return... That's a charitable act, is it?
Have you ever heard anything so stupid to suggest the tax you pay to the government is a form of charity?
Fucking hell, it's unbelievable, isn't it? It's unbelievable. How do these people get into positions of being these... I know who she is. She's a journalist. I think she's on Talk TV, and
I think in this capacity she's just sort of rent a gob. Let's get someone with an opinion to defend him. She was the best they could find.
What's her name? Isabel Gobshite.
Isabel Oakeshott or Isabel Gobshite. I quite like.
Dreadful woman.
So, I'm a Celebrity, I think we can... This is... I've basically just realised we're doing Room 101.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah. But we're boycotting... I mean, I do anyway, but certainly I'm encouraging people to boycott I'm a Celebrity just because it's a fucking awful programme.
Now, this one is going to be an interesting one because the Twitter one you were feeling lazy about because you can't be bothered to sort of advertise our podcast anywhere else.
Yeah.
I'm a Celebrity was an easy one because you hate it.
Yeah,
the tricky debate about whether or not to boycott the Qatar World Cup.
Wow, I mean this is a tricky one, but it is one I've given a lot of thought to.
Okay, now, Trev, will you be watching the Qatar World Cup?
I will be watching the Qatar World Cup. Yes,
and that was how the Trev and Ben podcast got cancelled. Good night, everybody.
Here's my thinking on it. Right, it's fucking awful that it's there. I mean, it's the final. Corrupt legacy of Sepp Blatter and all of that bunch of wankers who gave it to Qatar in the first place.
Right.
So hopefully this sort of thing will never happen. And I saw Sepp Blatter being interviewed today who said when they awarded it to Qatar, at that point, FIFA had no checks that they would make on sort of human rights issues in a country that they were awarding a World Cup to. You thought that would, you know...
That's astonishing.
I know, because I can't remember the year it was awarded to Qatar, but you'd have thought by then human rights would be such a hot potato that that's something that they would look into. So they shouldn't have had it in the first place, that's for sure. Obviously, the human rights record is appalling. Some of the laws are shocking and discriminatory. And the treatment of immigrant workers has been absolutely appalling.
So justify how you're watching it again, please.
Because I don't believe that by making, frankly, what is a futile... All the monies have changed hands, right? All the monies have changed hands. What difference would it make if I don't watch it? It's a futile gesture. I think the players are there. They're the ones who are going to have to speak up, and they already are. I mean, I love the fact that England flew over in a plane today called Rainbow that has a gay character painted on the plane. USA,
I didn't know that.
The USA football team have got... I think they've amended their badge to have the rainbow symbol on it. So players will be making a huge contribution to the conversation that's going to happen. But me not watching it isn't going to make any difference. I think there are people that should make more than it. I think David Beckham being an ambassador for it. I mean, what 10
million.
The fuck is he doing?
10 million.
10 million. Is that what he's paid to do it?
Yep.
I mean, he should just say absolutely not.
But so, mind you, you say that about, you know, little old... By the way, as it goes, I completely agree with you. You watch it, me watch it or not, will make piss all difference.
Yes.
However, that does smell a little bit of, oh, I won't bother voting because it won't make a difference.
Well...
If everyone thought like that, then maybe we could make a difference.
But would it make a difference? Because if nobody watched any... People have paid for their tickets to go and watch the games there, so that those people will go, right? If nobody watches any TV coverage in this country or around the world, if, let's say everyone just said, right, we're not watching it, would it make any difference? The TV companies have already paid whatever money for the rights, so they'll just broadcast it to nobody. And do you think the Qataris would actually give a shit? Do you think they go, oh, do you know what? Nobody watched it. We better change our laws on homosexuality, hadn't we? We better treat migrant workers better. We better look at it. Of course they wouldn't. Make a blind bit of difference. I'd like to think it would, but it wouldn't.
I'm inclined to agree with you.
But I mean, actually, the place where it would have made a difference is if, you know, if the people actually with some power, the TV companies, for example, if they said, all right, we're not going to broadcast it, we won't pay any rights to FIFA to broadcast it, that would have been a big thing. Then none of us could have watched it anyway. If people had said, well, I'm not going to go and buy tickets to go and watch it. But then there's that question of, if you're going to support your team, it's that thing of separating sport and politics, but it is difficult. And I'm not saying that I've come to the right decision, but the decision I've come to is that I won't be boycotting it.
Also, if you go through life looking at all of the different organisations, companies and things that the Qatari government have got massive stakes in, including Sainsbury's, Barclays, the list is endless, then you'd have a very tricky time getting through life without accidentally somehow lining the pockets of someone from that horrible regime. So I think the probable outcome I have personally is that I will watch the World Cup, but I will feel guilty about it at the same time.
Well, it's going to feel grubby. The whole thing feels grubby and dirty.
It does.
And it does, and it will, and it should do. It should. Like, we should all be sitting there. You think, I'm sure there are people that will boycott it, and fair play to them. Absolutely brilliant. I just don't think I could avoid it. I enjoy it too much. And that's not a good enough excuse. I'm totally aware of that. But it should feel dirty. I should sit there thinking, oh, this is fucking horrible. Yes! Oh, God. Like, when England win it, I should be cheering, but the other half, we should be fucking furious about it. Ben, do you ever watch any of those sort of airport programs where people have to go through customs?
I used to watch those sort of things a lot, yeah.
There's the kind of big one, it's an Australian one, is it? Well, I forget what it's called. But, I mean, you can basically tell the story of each episode straight away. There'll be some drugs at some point. They'll definitely find some drugs quite well concealed. There'll be someone who's got loads of food in their case that they're trying to get through without noticing. And then you'll get the angry customer who's done nothing wrong, but will get angry.
Right.
Oh, there's also kind of the person who's kind of got a criminal record and then have to be investigated, then often sent home. But those sort of programs, they're quite a good watch, aren't they? They're kind of, you know, quite
interesting. Yeah, I mean, if you're the sort of person who would enjoy Road Wars, you'd probably enjoy this.
Yes, yeah. And it sort of intrigues me how people try and smuggle stuff in. I mean, I often think, like, those people that try and smuggle, like, sometimes, like, loads of food or medication in their bag without sort of declaring it.
Yeah.
You think, well, how did you... I mean, you look at the stuff that comes out sometimes, you think, like, at what point did you think, oh, yeah, I must take a load of old seeds with me on holiday. I must remember to take a whole load of poppy seeds or something. I mean, I don't understand the mentality of it, but it sort of amazes me that they think they can get away with it.
It's incredible what people think they can do with it. I mean, you're going to get caught. That's what the... Yeah, it's astonishing what people think they can do.
Well, it's when it goes to the extremes that I like. So there's been a couple of things recently that you just think, I mean, how did these people think they were ever going to achieve what they wanted to achieve? So the first one was a man who was carrying a live albino alligator in his suitcase.
A live alligator?
Yes. It was a 3-foot-long alligator, and it was detected at Munich Airport. It was one of the sort of X-ray machines that found it. And when the security people came to open it, there was the albino alligator in the suitcase. It is recovering all right, by the way. It was in poor condition at the time, and it would be. If I think it was an American person, whether they were on their way back to America with it or it come from America with it. If you're carrying, I mean, it's going to be in the hold, which is going to be cold in the plane, which isn't going to do it any good. It's in a suitcase. Presumably, they might have put a couple of holes in it for air. But my goodness, I mean, what did you think was going to happen?
Yikes, that's not good.
There was another man who strapped, I mean, this is incredible. He strapped 110 boxes containing 1,100 bees to his body to try and smuggle them into Turkey.
Well, you tell me a better way of doing it.
Well, don't take bees? I'm sure in Turkey there are bees. I mean, why are you trying to carry... Surely someone would have heard them buzzing. That's a lot of bees. 1,100 bees are going to make quite a lot of noise.
I wonder if he made any attempt to sort of soundproof himself.
Well, you look at the picture of it, it doesn't look like it will be particularly soundproof. They're just like little boxes with, it looks like they've got little holes in, and he's just kind of strapped them to his body.
It seems quite poorly thought through. Like, would you need all of those bees, or would you need, you know, say 6 bees, and then, you know, get them to sort of mate, and then you know, I'm not saying it's not as instant. It's not, there was no instant gratification with my plan. Mine's the thinking man's bee smuggling game.
Well, you'd need the queen, wouldn't you? That's what you'd need, the queen bee.
Yeah, so get them through the other side, then just bide your time.
Okay, well, yeah, no, I mean, what I'm saying is don't smuggle bees at all.
Yeah, but if you have to, I would rather take, say, 6 bees than thousands and thousands of bees strapped to me in multiple boxes.
Imagine sitting next to that person on the plane as well, because you'd be thinking, what's that? What is that noise? You think there might be a problem with the plane. You'd be calling one of the stewards or stewardesses and going, I can hear this weird buzzing. And is the wing attached all right? It's, I mean, extraordinary. I mean, just, you were never going to get away with that. Never. No. In a million years, because these are quite, you know, I mean, they're not huge boxes, but if you can imagine you've got 110 of these strapped around you, no matter how sort of baggy a jumper you've got on, they're going to show up.
Yes. Absolutely.
So anyway, I looked at these things, and then, of course, you know, you end up going down a bit of a rabbit hole of the internet, and I came across some of the weirdest smuggling schemes that customs have ever discovered.
Okay.
So one of them was money in bread. They'd baked all this money into bread. I mean, why are you... I don't know. Is it your... I don't know which country this was in. Are you only allowed to say certain amount of money in, so you decide to bake the rest into bread?
I don't know. I mean, bank transfers?
Well, yeah. But, you know, maybe if you just need the cash, but I'm not sure baking it... Well, it was obviously wasn't the best plan, because you got caught. Again, it's a foodstuff. So if you're going to smuggle money, I don't think putting it in a foodstuff, because a foodstuff's going to raise suspicion, I always think.
Okay.
I think you're going to be asked about food stuff. So I think if you're going to smuggle, I don't know the best way to smuggle money, swallow it, stick it in orifices, I don't know.
Well, again, I suppose I'd never really considered there'd be a cash limit to how much you can take on a plane. Why would there be?
I don't know. I think some countries there might be a limit on the... But most of the time, it's you haven't got enough cash. You know, they'll look at it and think, well, have you got enough cash to sustain you for however long you're going to be here? But maybe some countries, they have a limit on the amount of money you can take in. I don't know.
Unless they think that having that much money on you is clearly for nefarious purposes.
It's from drugs or something.
Like, if you were to go out tonight with a face mask on... a crowbar and a big empty bag,
yeah,
and maybe some other tools to break into someone's house. If you were stopped in the street, you haven't actually done anything yet.
No.
But the police can still arrest you for going equipped.
That's true, yes. Yes, equipped for
it. So maybe it's the same thing with the money.
Yeah, they look at it and they think, well, surely this amount of money must equate to some criminal activity.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Weed in the shape of a donkey.
That's an unnecessary detail, isn't it?
You know, what I don't know is whether the entire donkey is made of weed or whether the weed is packed into a donkey. It's very hard to tell from the photograph because the photograph has the donkey, but it's all wrapped in sort of cellophane. But it says it's weed in the shape of a donkey.
Okay.
So presumably they've sort of, I don't know, packed it very tightly so they can sculpt from the weed. But again, I mean, you're going to smell that. Surely it's packed inside a donkey. You can't just have a donkey made of weed.
Has anyone ever thought of putting drugs inside sandwiches?
Well, so I'll tell you some of the places they have found drugs.
Okay.
Cocaine and breast implants.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. For a minute there, I assumed that there would be implants, if you know what I'm saying.
Right. No, I don't think so. I think the drugs are in... The implants are not attached to anybody.
Got it.
In sort of chocolate eggs, cocaine in chocolate eggs.
Okay.
Ecstasy inside a Mr. Potato Head. But we always knew he was fucked on something. I mean, that's not a surprise. A wooden door filled with cocaine.
Right.
Cats filled with opium. Now, when I say cats, I don't mean real cats. There's a pumping heroin into cats. These sort of earthenware cats.
Right, okay.
And an avocado filled with cocaine.
Avocado filled with cocaine.
Again, I think don't bring... Because, you know, countries are very careful about fruit coming in.
They are,
so
also.
Again, don't have drugs in fruit, because I think that's a certain to be caught.
Who's tasked with... putting the avocado back together again in a way that makes it look like it hasn't been opened.
I mean, if you watch the repair shop, if you have the expertise that they have, you might be able to do it. You probably have to touch up the join with some paint. You've got a colour match, but I reckon you could do it.
So here's how I'd hide drugs if I was going to.
Interesting. Here's how you would hide drugs.
Well, one of them, and by the way, this is for entertainment purposes, especially for example number two, it's going to sound like animal cruelty. I would clearly never do this, okay? One would be in my sandwiches.
But again, it's a food stuff, Ben. I'd be, because like, I don't know. Can you take your own sandwiches on a plane?
I guess so, yeah.
Can you?
Of course you can. I have special dietary requirements. I'm allergic to a lot of stuff, so I've made my own lunch.
Yeah, I think sandwiches is not a good idea.
Okay, right.
What drugs are you hiding in a sandwich?
Well, it wouldn't matter because this is the point. Whenever the sniffer dog gets a whiff of my sandwich, he's clearly just interested in my delicious luncheon meat.
Oh, luncheon meat. You're having lunch. Because I would suggest you need to go for a very smelly filling to try and overpower any kind of drug smell so the dogs can't detect it. So you'd probably want like egg
mayonnaise.
Well,
not all drugs smell, do they? I know cannabis but
dogs would be able to smell it. That's what they're trained for. They can smell drugs. So you want to try and confuse the dog. Lunch and meat, I don't think, would be enough. You need something particularly potent.
Right.
I would imagine like an egg mayonnaise, mackerel, a fish sort of base sandwich.
No, but I'm not. No, I don't. No. Listen, I think you're failing to realise what my point is here. The dog is welcome to smell my sandwich. The dog is welcome to get very excited by the smell of my sandwich.
Yeah.
But then I'll say to the customs officer in charge of the dog, he's clearly interested in my sandwich.
Yeah, but no.
Because it's food, not because it's drugs.
No, but what I'm saying is the dogs are trained to very high standard, Ben, and they have a way, if they detect the smell of a drug, they will show their owner or whoever's in charge. They'll either sit down or they'll show. There's a show that the dogs will have. So it doesn't matter if you say to a security man at imports and exports, you know, oh, he's only interested in my sandwich. If the dog has shown that he smelt or she smelt drugs on you, they will search every inch of your luggage and you. But if you have a really overpowering smell, what I'm saying is you've got to put the dog off the scent of the drugs so they don't show. So they don't sit down and sort of show to the police or whoever it is. What's the word I'm looking for? Who are these people? What are they called?
The handlers.
The handlers. There we go. The handlers. You don't want the dog to show the handler that it's detected drugs.
So method number two.
Right. Okay.
Method number two, and I can see you saying a similar thing here. Method number two, and again, would never do it, so save your angry, threatening messages. A tiny balloon full of contraband.
Yeah.
Get another dog.
Right.
And just gently pop the balloon up the dog's back passage. And then it's either my seeing eye dog, but that's involving a bit more acting ability on my part than I think I could pull off.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll just say it's my one of those stress dogs.
I can't remember. Comfort dogs or
what? Yeah, there's a term for them.
Anxiety dog.
Yeah, it's my anxiety animal. My stress animal. Whatever. And then if your drug dog starts sniffing around my dog's backside, well, that's just what dogs do, you know?
I'm sorry, officer, but your dog finds my dog incredibly sexy.
Yeah, and it's just sniffing my dog's bum. That's what dogs do. Nothing suspicious here.
If you have an anxiety animal, would they x-ray that animal?
I don't know.
Because bear in mind that I don't know if they still do it, but you know they x-ray you now, don't they? So they would see the balloon in the animal's anus. So I don't think that's a viable option. Basically, don't smuggle drugs. That's the overall message we should be giving out, but it's good to explore. All right. Have you got any other ideas?
Well, if you were going to say, I was expecting you to say that possibly the dog would still be so well-trained it would just sit down and do its little tell to its hand.
I mean, it may do that, yeah.
But then I would say, well, then you need to find a bitch that's really in heat.
Right.
But then again, I don't know. I mean, if a dog was... Could you so distract a drug dog with the scent of sex? Could you do that? Or is it such a professional? Or does it matter if it's been, you know, done?
Are those dogs done?
I would imagine they are.
Presumably they are. So, yeah, it wouldn't be interested anyway, no matter how much you're trying to lure it into your honey trap.
Surely they'd still be interested in the smell, wouldn't they? They might not have the equipment to do anything about it anymore, but they'd still be intrigued, wouldn't they?
Well, I don't know, because perhaps the dog's just like sex drives. It's just gone. It's got nothing. Its bollocks have gone. It's just not, just not interested anymore.
I think I can sympathise with that.
Talking of animals, we talked about the bees and the alligators.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to hear some animals that have tried to be smuggled?
Yeah.
Geckos in a book.
In a book?
So they cut out the pages. You know, like in the film, you always see like when a gun's hidden in a book or a phone or anything's hidden in a book, they cut out the pages. That's exactly what they've done. And they put geckos in it.
How is it getting air?
Well, I mean, there are some holes punched in the front couple of pages. I mean, from the picture, there's some eggs in there. I've got to say, from the picture, the gecko itself, I mean, it doesn't look well.
So it's more like a sort of incubator book.
Yeah, I think
an incubooker.
So. Well, yeah, but I mean, there is supposed to be a gecko in there, but I don't think it survived, put it that way.
And why was there a bit? I mean, I suppose you don't know the answer to these questions, but why was there this urgency to smuggle a gecko away?
I don't know. Maybe it's a rare type of gecko.
All right.
And trying to get that in. Frogs in a film canister. I mean, tiny little frogs in a film canister.
Aren't Australians quite hot on frogs not being allowed in?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
or is that toads?
I would imagine any animal You just can't take, you shouldn't take animals into another country, really.
Well, Australians are very strict on that.
Quite right, too. But you'd have thought a film canister actually might work. These tiny little frogs in a small film canister that would fit in your pocket. You'd have thought you'd get away with that, wouldn't you? But not at all. Snake inside a clay pot.
What sort of clay pot? That sounds very vague.
Like a flower pot, really.
Now, you see, that's a problem, because if you saw a woman carrying, or a man, I don't know why I went straight to woman, it's very sexist of me. If you saw a person getting on a flight with a flower pot,
yeah,
wouldn't you think, the first thing you'd think would be, why has that person got a flower pot?
Yeah. That's
automatically sort of attracting suspicion, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, even if it's sort of packed up and put in the hold, surely someone would question that anyway. If you go through with a flower pot, someone would say, why have you got a... And it doesn't, from the picture, it's not like an elaborate, ornate flower pot. It's just like a shitty one, like a shitty terracotta clay pot that you'd get at any old garden centre. So that would arouse suspicion, I think, straight away.
I think so.
And finally, just to put animals and drugs together again, clams, each filled with cocaine and glued shut.
Wow.
I mean, there's nothing right about that. There's nothing that you're going to get through with that. You've got clams. People aren't going to want clams being imported into their country. And so the moment they find them, they're going to want to investigate more, and they're going to find the cocaine. That's the thickest, most ludicrous idea I've ever heard.
Do you think they had like a decoy first layer, which was actually clams?
They might have done. They might have had sort of live clams at the top.
Just to sort of throw them off the scent.
Yeah, yeah.
But then again, I think we've established that it must be hard to throw drug dogs off the scent.
I don't think you can. I don't think it's possible. I think even the most fetid clam filled with cocaine, a dog's going to find. So yeah, that's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Before we go, I've got a few recommendations for you, Ben.
Go ahead.
First thing is on Netflix, called The Watcher.
Oh, yes. I've still got a couple of episodes of Dharma to kill off first. I like to watch things in order.
Okay.
But that is very much next on my list.
It's next on your list. Well, it's very good. And I didn't know that it's very loosely based on a true story.
Yes, I'm a big fan of the true story.
Are you? I'd never heard of the true story. Basically, it's people move into a house and then they start getting letters basically saying, I'm watching you. People have been watching this house for many, many years. The TV show goes off on all kinds of other tangents, so I won't spoil any of that. But the letters is based on this true story.
Well, I think as far as I am aware, it's never been solved as to who has been sending these messages.
No.
I may be wrong. So I'm basically going into the TV show expecting it to take all sorts of artistic license and go everywhere untrue to the actual story. But still, it'll be good.
Yeah, and it brings in sort of another true story that wasn't actually linked to that story, but it kind of brings them together. So yeah, there's a lot of artistic license goes on. But I binged a lot. I think it's seven episodes. Basically, last Sunday, that's all I did.
How long is it each episode?
About 55 minutes. Basically, my whole Sunday was watching that. And I got to sort of the last one, and it was quite late. And I said, well, I've got to watch the last one now. I can't just go to bed and got one more to go. So it's very addictive. Once you start, you binge it.
Okay.
The other thing I want to recommend is a documentary that's on Sky called Hurst, the First and Only. It's a documentary about Jeff Hurst, the World Cup hat-trick hero from 1966, of course.
Oh, yes.
And we didn't need to think about boycotting the World
Cup. No. You simpler know? Times.
Simpler times. but no, it's a really moving documentary. It obviously talks a lot about the final, his hat-trick, but it talks about lots of things I didn't know about his life, the ups and downs of his life. What a man, though. You watch it and you think, this man, he was a... You know, this is a time when they didn't earn a lot of money. He was a hat-trick hero in the World Cup. He won the World Cup for England. And then, you know, a few years later, he's sort of discarded from football and he has to go on the dole.
Wow.
That's how so different the times were. That you just didn't earn enough money to play football to survive beyond your playing days. It was a very small wage. Can you imagine these days? You know, a footballer like Ronaldo, who's just done his interview with Piers Morgan, you think, well, he can afford to basically piss up at everything. You know, he's not got to worry, is he? He can piss off his employers. They might even sack him. And it wouldn't matter, would it?
No, not at all. Really, not to him.
Even if his career suddenly came to a grinding halt, he's got enough money to see him through the rest
of
his life.
10 lifetimes, I thought.
Unbelievable. But it's a really good documentary. It's on Sky Documentaries, so it's on Catch Up, so well worth a watch. And the final thing I'm going to recommend is the latest series of The Crown.
Oh, okay. Is this one of your royal things, is it?
Well, you know what The Crown is, don't you?
I don't watch it.
It's one of those weird things, because the first few series, of course, it was based in the 50s and the 60s, and sort of way before my memory of things, but now we're into the 90s, and it's sort of so close, feels so close, and you sort of think, oh, I see, you know that so much of it is artistic license, and in fact there's been lots of debate about whether Netflix should have a disclaimer to say this is a drama, which they did eventually sort of say that they would.
Oh, and did they?
I think they have now. I think they finally gave in, because there was such a hoo-ha about it, because they were first of all saying people know it's a drama, and people say, well, you need to have a disclaimer, because what you don't want is sort of younger people maybe in the future coming to it and thinking, well, this is fact, this is exactly what happened.
If I worked in Netflix, I'd be so petulant. I'd put that on everything. I'd put it on Batman. I'd put it on absolutely everything.
But I'm quite enjoying it. I've got one more to go. And I quite enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
Good stuff. I do have one recommendation which I have just remembered.
Go on.
I saw on Twitter an announcement to say that the end is coming to My Dad Wrote a Porno, the podcast.
Yes.
So for anyone who hasn't heard that, it's coming to an end. You've got basically the entirety of it to enjoy now. If you've never heard it, it's very funny. I'd recommend it.
Yeah, no, and the final one, they're going to interview the dad who wrote it.
The legendary Rocky Flintstone, the author of the books.
So I'm quite looking forward to that episode, I have to say.
But basically, it's as daft as it sounds. Somebody realised their dad taken up as a hobby writing pornographic novels.
Yes.
And the three friends sit down and read it. And it's as daft as it sounds. It's very funny.
So there we are. That's it for this week. Thanks for listening. And don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime. We are still at Trev and Ben on Twitter. And we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.